You're listening to episode 63 of the Mad Chatters podcast, December 9th, 2015.
Most everyone's mad here.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mad Chatters podcast, your very important date with the happenings at Walt Disney World and around the Disney universe. My name is Derek, and as always, joining me today are my fellow co-hosts, Matthew
L'chaim
and Jeremy.
Oy vey.
Hey, Jeremy, I thought of you this week because, I think about you a lot. On Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, I hate that guy.
Who? Oh, Andy Samberg?
Oh,
It's not about him.
Okay,
good. He wasn't even in this scene, but I like that show. And who shows up but Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Oh,
and he actually says the phrase Spaceship Earth.
Oh, my word.
As he's talking. Isn't that the attraction you think he should host?
Or no, it was Energy.
Ellen's Energy Adventure, but close enough. Epcot.
I mean, he actually used the phrase Ellen's Energy Adventure. It was crazy. No. Yep. He really did say he was giving someone tips on astronomy, and he said on this spaceship Earth. And I was like, what?
Oh,
that's crazy.
What did you call him, Matt? Tyson Boneless Chicken?
I called him Mike Tyson. Yeah, Tyson Mike. Boneless Chicken. How come every time I hear his name, I picture the guy from The Office and like Hot Tub Time Machine?
Oh, Daryl.
Yeah. Rapture Palooza, that guy.
Isn't he in like a Walmart commercial right now? That guy?
Yes.
He plays the keyboard. So random. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, Neil deGrasse Tyson, he showed up, and I thought all Jeremy's Disney dreams were coming true there for a second. But
that would be the weirdest place to announce that Neil deGrasse Tyson was coming to Epcot, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Mm-hmm.
That would be very interesting. But okay, another thing I want to say before we start the show off. Okay, I know we kind of made fun of the Holidays Happen Here dance party last week or maybe the week before. Did you see some of the characters that showed up?
Yes, I saw Robin Hood.
Yeah. Super rare characters.
That's the only way to make a dance party appeal to me is put super rare characters in there, and they succeeded because when I saw it, I was like, "I would totally twerk on Robin Hood. That'd be fun."
and
they were festive because they all had scarves on.
Oh yes,
winter wear.
As I am tonight as well with my scarf.
I don't see it. Oh. But Sebastian, I was like. Yeah, I didn't even know there was a Sebastian costume in anywhere.
Yeah, he used to be in Move It, Shake It, Celebrate It, or whatever. Make It, Move It, Show. What is
make
that?
Make It. I don't know. Move It,
Shake It, Bake It. I don't know.
Something.
Yeah, but Bolt, like, I just couldn't believe all the rare characters that were coming
Bolt. Who would have thought we'd ever see the Bolt character again?
Like, who would have thought anyone wants to see the Bolt character again?
But when I saw it, I was like, Bolt, yes, totally.
Yeah. So it may be a dance party, but at least they're trying to make something special out of it.
Yes, indeed.
Anyway, speaking of Christmas, let's kick off the episode with this week's Very Merry Chatmas Moment.
This is Rule. Everybody, and I just wanted to say happy holidays.
And this week we're talking about holiday treats. Jeremy, you didn't sorry, do our planned sound.
I missed the cue. My bad.
Okay, so what I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna tell you guys about some of the treats that they're offering this holiday season at Walt Disney World, and I'm gonna warn you now, there is a theme, and it's sugar. I feel like these are all sweet things, almost. They listed a lot, like on their blog and, pretty much just the blog. And I've seen a few reviews of various things. But some of the ones that stuck out to me are being offered at Magic Kingdom during the Christmas party. So, Jeremy, you might have seen some of these. There's a peppermint cupcake with buttercream frosting and peppermint sprinkles. That sounds like something I would like.
Is it chocolatey?
Yeah.
Oh, then I'm all in.
I don't think the actual cake is peppermint.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I like peppermint, but I love peppermint and chocolate together.
Yeah, me too. Of course, sugar cookies are available At Gaston's Tavern, there is a holiday tree cupcake, and it basically just looks like a Christmas tree, but it's made with spiced cake infused with orange zest, cinnamon, clove, and star anise, topped with sprinkles and an edible star.
A star what?
Star anise.
Star anise?
Yes. Waka waka.
A-N-I-S-E. Anise.
No, I really don't know what that is.
It's a spice. It looks like a star.
Yeah.
It's used a lot in Chinese cooking.
You learn something new every day.
And Gaston, he cooks with it.
I'm always disappointed by anything spice, carrot, gingerbread related because it always sounds like it's going to be so good. And I like the way it tastes, but they're all like the same. You know?
Yeah. But speaking of spices, the pumpkin spice waffle is back. Something I still really want to try.
Where's that?
At Sleepy Hollow.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes.
Liberty
yes.
Square. It's got the ice cream on top and the holiday sprinkles. Okay. So over in Epcot, they do the holidays around the world, which Jeremy has talked about on the show before. And every country has its own special holiday treat that I guess I know. You've missed them. You've missed out. So like sweet tamales. I should just name the snack and you should guess what country it's in.
Yeah.
That's fun little game.
Let's be offensive. I can't see how this could go wrong.
Okay. Sweet tamales.
Mexico.
Good job. Okay. Salted caramel hot chocolate.
America. That sounds like America, like soccer moms.
Yeah, it's up. America. But I was curious. I thought the actually flavored hot chocolates were kind of cool, to be honest. They have peanut butter hot chocolate.
Oh.
And toasted marshmallow hot chocolate.
China? Uh-huh.
No, this is all still America. Sorry.
Oh, okay. China. Toasted marshmallows.
I don't know how that's Chinese. But
I don't either. That's why it's funny, because it was just like, China? I don't know.
Okay, this one might be a giveaway. Kai Kujau.
Oh.
Japan.
No!
China!
Yes.
What is it?
And the translation is Happy Face Fried Cake.
If you would have said that, I would have said China.
I looked it up, and it really is traditional. And this doesn't seem as sweet as it does savory, but it's deep-fried sesame balls. And I guess when you bite into it, it kind of looks like a happy face or a smiley face. So that's why it's called that. Okay. Next, panettone.
That sounds like Italy.
It is Italy. It's Italian Christmas bread.
Okay.
Okay. Stollen.
Germany.
Yeah. It's a classic holiday fruit bread. Like all of these, this sounds like I would want to try all these in one little trip around the world.
Yeah.
Sounds like a nice little challenge. Okay. These are all giveaways. I'm sorry. This was a stupid game. But anyway, honey chocolate baklava.
Oh, Morocco?
Yeah. But honey chocolate, that sounds good.
That does sound good. And I love the baklava.
Yeah, me too. It's good stuff.
Baklava.
Yes. Pecan maple bark.
I wonder.
Canada. Or Vermont.
Both.
Isn't the same thing.
Hot Applejack cider.
I don't know what's left except like
UK.
It's UK. Very good. Yeah.
The Union Jack Applejack. I get it.
Oh. A classic bûche de Noël au chocolat is
France.
It's a chocolate Christmas log.
What'd you call me?
That sounds like it resembles a turd. Chocolate Christmas log.
Got one of those.
But they also have cinnamon ice cream with caramelized pecans, which sounds good.
That does.
But over in Canada, they have something I've talked about before, and it's a warm turkey sandwich on cranberry bread with mashed potatoes and gravy. Now, I did see someone post not that long ago that it doesn't even like hold a candle to the Earl of Sandwich version of the holiday turkey sandwich.
Yeah.
So I wonder.
I don't like the addition of mashed potatoes and no dressing.
Yeah, you're right. That's strange.
Wait, the mashed potatoes are on the sandwich?
It sounds like it.
Ooh.
Like a spread, maybe?
No, wait. A warm turkey sandwich on cranberry bread with mashed potatoes and gravy. I bet that's a side item.
Maybe.
I don't know. Those Canadians are pretty strange.
Yeah. And the good thing about the holiday turkey sandwich at Earl of Sandwich is that the cranberries are on the sandwich, like a sort of sauce.
Yeah.
But this just has cranberry bread, so it's probably dry. I'm just imagining. I don't know.
Maybe that's why the mashed potatoes and gravy are there, Doug.
There you go. Moisten it up.
I mean, those Canadians, they think that lumberjack sawing wood is entertainment, so I wouldn't put it past them.
Hey, they're gone,
by the way. That did not last very long.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Hit the road, lumberjacks.
What are they going to do with the swimming pool that they put out there for them?
Oh, baptisms. I don't know.
Wait, what?
They had like a big pool of water out in front of the stage.
From doing the log balancing thing.
Oh, yeah. All right, well, I don't know. That's a good question. Anyway, so those were kind of the highlights. Like I said, mostly sweet things and mostly things that they've had in years past as well. But lots of holiday treats to try at Disney World this year.
Merry Chatmas.
Time for another Mad Chatter game, and now here's your Mad Chatter host, Mad Chatter Jeremy.
Thank you, everyone.
Wow.
Oh, thank you.
Did you bring your own sound effect?
Good to see you. We're in front of a live studio audience this evening, and I couldn't be more thrilled to be here with another Mad Chatter game. Tonight we're playing America's favorite game, Disney Channel movie or Hallmark Channel movie.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, boy.
So I'm going to give you...
Wait, what does that sound?
That was the audience applauding. They're excited.
Sounded like paper.
I thought so, too. I was like, who's rattling paper? Stop it.
Anyways, tonight I'm going to give you the title of a film that has appeared either on the Disney Channel or the Hallmark Channel. And you have to decide if it appeared on the Disney Channel or the Hallmark Channel. Understand?
Simple enough.
All right, studio audience, are you ready?
Wait, what are the H and the D for?
Oh, wrong button. Oops. Quiet down. I couldn't get them to stop there. Anyways, you'll reveal your answers because you'll do it at the same time. It won't go back and forth. So,
okay.
Are you ready to play?
We're ready.
Yes, sir.
Okay, title number one. Mom's Got a Date with a Vampire. Mom's Got a Date with a Vampire. Okay. Answers, please. Derek, you said?
D, Disney Channel.
And Matt?
D, Disney Channel.
And the correct answer is D, Disney Channel.
No, you just need to stop that. Oh. I can barely hear it anyway.
That app cost me $3. I'm getting my money's worth. Okay, number two. Princess Protection Program. Princess Protection Program. Did that appear on the Disney Channel or the Hallmark Channel? Answers, please. Matthew first.
Oh, geez. Hallmark Channel.
Derek?
Disney Channel.
The correct answer is the Disney Channel.
I thought you were tricking me.
All right, next one. Elevator Girl.
Lord.
I kind of want to know what these are about.
Worst superhero movie ever. No, I've never seen it. Elevator Girl. Answers, please, Derek.
Hallmark Channel.
Matthew.
Hallmark Channel.
And the correct answer is the Hallmark Channel. Both get a point. Congratulations. Next one. Dear Dumb Diary.
You didn't give me time to say my joke about how Elevator Girl is about a girl who has lots of ups and downs. You're a jerk.
Matt says Disney and Derek says
Hallmark.
Dear Dumb Diary appeared on the Hallmark title. Point for Derek.
This sucks.
I've seen all of these. This is easy.
Next movie. Along Came a Nanny. I think we ought to make up a plot for each of these as we go.
Like Balderdash. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
Along Came a Nanny. Matthew says?
H, Hallmark Channel.
I did, too.
And the correct answer is Hallmark Channel. Woo.
In a world. I don't know.
Where a nanny comes along.
That's it.
The next one. Geek Charming. Geek Charming. Answers, please.
Disney Channel.
Disney Channel.
The correct answer is Disney Channel. You've probably both seen that.
No.
I've not seen any of these movies.
Followed by the sequel, Greek Charming. Like you were about to say.
Greek.
All right, number 7. How to Build a Better Boy. To Build a Better Boy.
I'm going to say Disney Channel.
I'm going to say Hallmark Channel.
The correct answer is the Disney Channel.
Yes.
My word.
You're going to win this one.
My Netflix queue is filling up fast as we discuss these.
All right, the next one is probably my favorite of all of them. And I'm lying, I'm dying. Murder, She Baked. Murder, She Baked.
Murder, She Baked. Instead of Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, okay.
What is that supposed to mean? I don't even know that. Okay, my answer is H. It
makes no sense whatsoever. But I also said H.
And the correct answer is Hallmark Channel, yes.
Murder, She Baked.
I think, I'm not even kidding, I think it stars the mom from Everybody Loves Raymond, if I remember right.
Wow.
Patricia Heaton?
No, his mom. Raymond's mom.
Doris. Roberts.
Something. Roberts.
Yeah.
Maybe she killed someone and stored him in the oven.
Yeah. That doesn't sound like a Hallmark Channel movie.
Yeah, you're right.
Sounds like Sweeney Todd. Next one. Stepsister from Planet Weird.
Oh, gosh.
Disney.
The correct answer is Disney. Congratulations, you both got it.
The thing is, all these sound so god-awful. It's like they're from the same place.
Hence the game.
Yeah.
The next one. The Good Witch's Destiny.
Ooh.
Oh.
Good Witch's Destiny. Which, by the way, is one film in a franchise. Just so you know.
Oh.
You don't want to start there. I think there's some before they come.
That is good to know. Hopefully Netflix will say, you know, also we also recommend ...
Yeah.
But I said Disney Channel.
Disney. Matt, what'd you say?
I said Hallmark.
And the correct answer is Hallmark.
Oh.
Yay. They run that crap all year long.
Yeah, I remember seeing the Good Witch movies advertised during Golden.
Well, they have like a, it's like a TV, it's like a regular series now.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yes, God help.
Now, is Disney Twitches?
Yes.
With Tia and Tamara or whatever?
Yeah, and They're like 40 now. They're like super old.
It's funny how people age as time goes by.
I mean, not to all of our 40-year-old fans out there. I didn't mean to insult you, but... Okay, next one. Oliver's Ghost.
Wait,
Oliver.
Okay.
I said Hallmark Channel.
What did you say, Matt?
I'm going to say Disney Channel.
The correct answer is the Hallmark Channel.
Ooh. Oh, I hate you, and I hate this game.
Next one. Cadet Kelly.
Oh, definitely Disney Channel.
Okay, I'll go ahead and say Disney, too. It's definitely Disney.
I mean, I really didn't know, but it just feels like it's definitely Disney.
You are definitely right. Oh, and okay. It definitely starred Hilary Duff and the sister from Even Stevens.
Oh. Anyways. I like that. That's how she's known.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know her name.
And I still don't know who you're talking about. But yeah.
Okay, next one. Stuck in the Suburbs.
Okay. I'm going to say H.
Me too.
Hallmark Channel.
Both are incorrect.
Oh. No. Who does that star?
I have no idea.
Kevin
Next one.
I don't know.
Garage Sale Mystery.
That sounds like a Hallmark Channel.
Yeah, me too.
Both say Hallmark Channel and both are correct.
I want to know what the mystery is.
All right, last one.
Can't find the tennis balls.
The night before the night before Christmas. The night before the night before Christmas. Matt says, I can't tell.
Disney Channel.
I say Hallmark Channel.
Hallmark Channel is correct.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, surprise.
So, congrats. Oh, take it away, Steve. Congratulations, Derek. You have won another Mad Cheddar game. Join us next time. Same Mad Cheddar podcast. Same Mad Cheddar fun.
Why'd they get sad?
Because we're leaving.
This week's show was inspired by something pretty big that happened over at Walt Disney World this past week, and that was on December 4th, and it was a return of some beloved audio animatronics to the park. And it was the Three Caballeros audio animatronics returned from the Mickey Mouse Revue, formerly of Magic Kingdom, and they have been placed in Grand Fiesta Tour in World Showcase. Very exciting. I think all of us were pretty pumped when we saw it, and the internet was definitely pumped when they saw it.
It was one of those moments that makes me so happy to be a part of the Disney online universe, because there's so much arguing and bickering that happens, and that was just one of those moments that united us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just felt like everybody was just so happy to see those audio animatronics, and like, I felt like we were all like giving each other like a Twitter hug in a sense. Like, we did it, they're back, and that's so exciting.
There were several reasons why it was exciting. One is because no one knew this was happening. It was just like people woke up, saw the news, and said, what? There are animatronics? Another reason I think it's exciting is because it's 2015 and a screen is being replaced by auto animatronics. Like, when was the last time that happened, as opposed to the other way around?
And it's been rumored for like years that those animatronics were in the back and they were just waiting to be put installed. And so it was kind of like, what is Disney waiting for? And so then just like to have a overnight, they pop up. It was a Christmas miracle. Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah. if it's okay, I'm going to read a bit from the D23 website, because they posted a really cool piece about the history of these animatronics and what led to the decision of bringing them back. It says, after 35 years on world tour, three historic audio animatronics figures have returned home to Walt Disney World Resort. Originally premiering in the Mickey Mouse Revue attraction at Magic Kingdom Park on October 1st, 1971, which you'll note is opening day of Magic Kingdom, and later performing in the same attraction at Tokyo Disneyland, the memorable Panchito Jose Carioca, is that right? Carioca?
Yeah.
And Donald Duck figures appeared today in the grand finale of Grand Fiesta Tour starring the Three Caballeros at Epcot. And D23 members were among the first to see them in action again as part of a special tweet meet. The Happy Amigos hold a special place in Walt Disney World history, going back to April 1969 when government and media officials gathered in Ocoee for a first glimpse at the long-awaited Project Florida. Among the imaginative pieces showcased at the unveiling were concept artwork, a massive scale model of the master plan, figures from the Tropical Serenade attraction, and these Happy Chappies. The Three Caballeros figure models accompanying Maestro Mickey Mouse represented an attraction first conceived in the mind of Walt Disney that would be totally unique to the Magic Kingdom at its opening. The Mickey Mouse Revue would feature 96 audio animatronics Disney characters who performed favorite songs under the baton of show business impresario, bless it. Impresario Mickey Mouse. As one of the show's memorable highlights, the Three Caballeros sang their catchy theme song from their 1944 feature film, magically transporting across the theater with each shot from a pair of pistolas. I'm guessing that means pistols. Mm-hmm.
This writer needs to be toned down a bit.
A little bit. Then, for the grand finale, all of the characters returned to the stage for an energizing rendition of Zippity Doodah. The Mickey Mouse Review closed at Magic Kingdom on September 14th, 1980, in preparation for its move to Tokyo Disneyland, where Donald, Panchito, and Jose returned to the stage for opening day April 15th, 1983. There, the Birds of a Feather performed for some 26 years until the final curtain fell to make way for Mickey's PhilharMagic in 2009. Today, December 4th, 2015, the figures made a grand return to Walt Disney World Resort where they surprised D23 members and World Showcase guests in the finale of Grand Fiesta Tour, where they sing and samba again.
We're three caballeros, three gay caballeros. They say we are birds of a feather. We're happy amigos, no matter where he goes. The one, two, and three goes, we're always together. Guitars here beside us to play as we go. We sing and we samba, we shout. What means I caramba?
Oh yes, I don't know.
Pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Yeah. But it's sad also how many people will go in and out of that attraction and not know that. But that's just the way it is.
Did you guys watch any videos of them yet?
Well, when I got up, what did you say was the 4th of Saturday? Is that right?
Friday.
So I got up and I was scrolling through Instagram and I saw one of the, I guess he works for Disney somehow, that Sam guy. What's his name?
Stephen Miller, yeah. He works in merchandising.
Stephen Miller? Oh, I was way off. No, it's Sam something.
No, his Twitter handle is SamHowzit. But his real name is Stephen Miller.
Oh, yeah, looky there. I always thought he was Sam. Albie, you learn something new every day. Anyways, he posted a video, and it looks like the end of, you know, Grand Fiesta Tour, but it had the animatronics, and it didn't say anything except, this is the greatest thing I've seen all day, so happy, check out D23.com for details. But then he hashtagged it, World Showcase, Epcot, all that kind of thing. So I was like, wait, is that really in the Mexico Pavilion? And then you just saw, it was like, a small spark that just lit a fire of tweets and retweets and people posting. And then here comes all the ride videos and the photos. And so I followed it for a few hours and I liked every single one I came across because made me so happy.
We were planning on going to Epcot today, but I think we're going to go next week. And it'll be one of those things that I'm freaking out about that my wife will be like, that's stupid.
No.
Little stuffed animals, you know, people don't understand the significance.
They look really good for being 44 years old. I mean, they're really fluid. Donald's shaking his maracas.
His what?
His tail feather.
Yeah, I think they look amazing, and I'm looking at a video again now, and it's just making me smile because it's just so adorable and so... Just like you said, in 2015, finally we're getting rid of a screen in favor of an animatronic. That's just awesome.
Yep. Yep. Now, the Walt Disney Company has a lot of history with audio animatronics, which is another reason we are doing what we're doing today, which is counting down our top 5 audio animatronics at Walt Disney World. Matt, can you fill us in on some of that history?
Yes, I can. We mentioned this... When were we talking about? Oh, it was last week with the last podcast, the Do This, Not That at the Magic Kingdom, and how I wished everyone could have access somehow to the history of audio animatronics in Adventureland, especially with Pirates, Enchanted Tiki Room, and Jungle Cruise, and I think that would help them appreciate it all the more. But in place of that at the park, here's just a short little snippet. Audio animatronics, which I didn't even know this until reading it today, the actual term audio animatronic in the form that I guess you find in the Disney parks was trademarked by the Walt Disney Company in 1964. Oh, it was filed and then registered in 1967. So the initial idea came from, I guess he was an Imagineer or a Walt Disney employee named, oh, good grief, it just left me, Lee Adams. And Lee Adams was working along with an electrician or another Imagineer or something on a dancing man figure of Buddy Ebsen. So Buddy Ebsen came in, did a little dance, and they recorded his moves on this robotic type man. And I guess using like the old kind of magnetic tape rolls, they recorded the movement so that when they went back and played the tape, as it were, it made the robotic figure move in synchronization to the sound and all that good stuff. Aside from that, Walt Disney had a bird, and that should sound very familiar. He had a bird that both of these gentlemen then transformed into an animatronic figure, which led us, obviously, to probably the first and most, well, maybe not the first, but the most impressive, certainly, use of audio animatronics, and that is the birds in the Enchanted Tiki Room that were there for the opening day. Actually, not opening day, 1963 in Disneyland. Mm. Now, before that, I think the after that, actually, 1964, I think Walt Disney and the company figured out that this is monumental, and obviously it was, because the 1964 World's Fair, they really showed off their new creation, now a few years old, with the Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln exhibit, which featured obviously a audio animatronic President Lincoln giving a speech and all those kinds of things. The introduction of Small World, which introduced animatronic little dolls dancing and carrying on. And then the Carousel of Progress, which we all know and love at Walt Disney World, with several audio animatronic figures. And then what was called the Magic Skyway, which, as I understand it, people boarded like real Ford vehicles, and it was latched onto a track, and it took them through several scenes, including what you now know in Disneyland as the Primeval World Diorama, the Grand Canyon Diorama, and some other things featuring animatronic dinosaurs and all that. So that was kind of the birth of audio animatronics, which just by definition are robotic animals, humans, or whatever. They're stationary and have recorded movements with sound.
And, yeah. The D23 post I read actually has a little registered mark beside the word audio animatronics.
Yeah.
So they're very careful about that, I guess.
And of course, lots of people and places and theme parks, obviously, around the world. Theme parks, movies, television. I mean, that one little, and I wouldn't call it, one little spark. Innovation. Yeah, one little spark. seriously changed the face of entertainment as we know it. And that is something that, you know, people going on the Tiki Room that seem to be bored and think it's just a snooze fest, you know, are not thinking about, which they should.
Yeah.
You know, all your dinosaurs and special effects from Star Wars movies and everything in between that started with the Walt Disney Company.
Jeremy, do you remember when we went to the Walt Disney Family Museum and when we got to the World's Fair section, they had an animatronic tiki bird that you could kind of play with, like you could hit certain buttons and make it, you know, open its beak or turn its neck and things like that. So obviously they recognize that it was an important part of Walt's history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't think you ever realize how much goes into programming those things, because it's a lot of mechanical moving parts.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's syncing it to, at that time, you know, technically audio animatronics, they would have been syncing the animatronic part to the audio that was all recorded on kind of the same tape. So they would have to record the beak movements at the exact time they're talking, and the eye blinking and breathing, and all the other little intricate parts that they had to program.
I think our generation doesn't really appreciate the animatronics sometimes, because we kind of grew up in a world where that was kind of the norm. Like, you could go down to your local Chuck E. Cheese pizza and see, you know, some form of that. But yeah. I remember, I think it was on one of the Walt Disney documentaries that I saw, they talked about the news reports coming out of the World Showcase there when they debuted Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln. And just the way people were just shocked, and they thought it was an actor, and then they, when they realized it wasn't an actor, how just amazed they were. And one newspaper even reported that Mr. Lincoln came off the stage and shook hands with everyone in the front row. And, you know, clearly that was an exaggeration, but that's how lifelike this audiomatronic appeared to him. So
that's fine.
That's so cool to think about.
I'm trying to find it. I can't, but I feel like the Tiki Room was either an E ticket or a D ticket when Walt Disney World debuted it, which makes sense because at the time it was like such a brand new thing, kind of like what you're saying, Jeremy. We've become almost numb to it today, but.
And really for Disney fans, Disney theme park fans especially, there's nothing that makes our day more, as you can tell from the news about the Grand Fiesta Tour, than knowing that an attraction will feature audio animatronics. Hmm. It's just one of those things when you follow Disney, whether it's on Twitter or Facebook or just the blogs and all the various sites for news and rumors in the park, you know, something people are always wanting to know is if there will be audio animatronics, if there'll be animatronic figurines or whatever. And, you know, knowing that something's going to be screen-based is a terrible disappointment, and really genuinely only for Disney park fans is that a real disappointment that it's going to be screen-based.
Mm-hmm. Well, with all that being said, on today's show, we are going to count down our top 5 audio animatronics at Walt Disney World. And I have to say, this is one of the hardest lists we've done for me personally, because I was trying to decide which direction do I go. Do I go with the lovable ones that I just, you know, as I pass by, I say, "Oh, I love that guy." Or do I go with the impressive, like you just can't deny how incredible it is, all the animatronics? So I kind of did a mixture of both, but I guess we'll see where this list goes. Before we start, I was kind of curious, did any of you have favorites from the past that didn't make your list because they're extinct? Like I was thinking specifically of the trolls from Maelstrom.
Oh, yes.
I always remember them, but of course they're gone now. Disappear.
I would think Dreamfinder would find his way on here somehow.
For sure.
When I was little, I remember the gentleman that had fallen off of his bike and was in the mud in the World of Motion. For some reason, I always liked him.
I never saw this attraction, but Cranium Command. What was the little guy's?
It was Buzz or Buzzy?
Buzzy. With the glasses.
Yeah,
I always found him to be rather adorable.
We watched that on YouTube at Matt's house some months back.
Anyway, okay, well, I think we should go ahead and get this started. So who wants to start with their number 5?
I'll begin. My number 5, one that immediately came to mind, among many others, but made my list, was the Donald Duck animatronic from Mickey's PhilharMagic. And this attraction is not really near any of my favorite attractions, but that little part at the end in which on the screen in the film portion, Donald is blown out of a tuba and, you know, through 3D, it looks like he's coming over the theater. And then as the lights come back on and the show is ending, you know, you hear Donald in the back and everybody turns around, obviously, to see where the sound is coming from. And you see like Donald's rear end and feet sticking out of these bricks like he's made a hole in the wall. And then he just kind of wiggles around, and then something pops, and he says, "Uh-oh," and then just falls in, and there's a little smoke effect. And it might just be for the sheer placement and the effects that go into it, but that adds tons to that show, and is always a wonderful moment.
Yeah, that is pretty good. I didn't even think of him.
Yeah, me either.
Your 5th favorite audio animatronic is Donald Duck's butt.
Maybe we could call that my 5th favorite audio animatronic moment, but he makes it on there because obviously he's there.
I'll go next. My number 5 is, I think the rest of mine are listed because they're impressive, but I had to put this guy on there because I really enjoy seeing him. He is from Pirates of the Caribbean, and I specifically enjoy the pirate at the end in the jail cell who is whistling and his cheeks are puffed out. You know, and it's like, he's trying to get the dog's attention.
Yeah, we know what whistling is.
No, wait, let me explain it again. Hold on. But anyway, I mean, really, you could put almost any of the pirates on this list as far as, maybe not the impressive part of it, but just the lovable, makes you smile. And this guy, especially for me, I always enjoy seeing him. It's also, it's like one of the more close-up ones.
Yeah.
When you get to that
scene.
Well,
sure, every single pirate figure in there was, you know, you think about it being hand, not just the animatronic figure, but just the conception of it was hand-designed, hand-animated, original characters that they put a lot of work into thinking up.
Yeah, I think I heard an interview with Mary Blair one time about, or wait, was it Mary Blair or Alice Davis?
Alice Davis, because it was Mark Davis that designed it.
Gotcha. Who did all the costumes for it. Mm-hmm. And talking about, oh my goodness, all the work that went into those costumes and trying to keep them to where they didn't tear every time the pirates moved and rubbed against it and stuff. But
my number five is one that makes me happy as well. That seems to be the theme, because it is by no stretch of the imagination a good audio animatronic. And that is Simba from Festival of the Lion King. Particularly one part in the show when you sing The Lion Sleeps Tonight, and half the crowd sings the one part and the other half sings the other. And the lion section sings the woo yo umbare, or whatever the words are. But when
bidet.
when that part comes, the audio-animatronic closes its eyes and like kind of parts its mouth where it looks like it's singing the woo, yeah, and like rocks its head back and forth, and it makes me laugh every time, because yeah, I was like, somebody really thought, how would this lion look singing that part? And they made it come alive that way. So,
that's true. Yeah.
Otherwise, it's kind of a herky-jerky AA, so it's not really the best. But, and I think the Pumbaa looks really terrible as well. But, you know.
I kind of like the Pumbaa.
What were they originally from?
They're originally from the Lion King Parade at the Magic Kingdom, right?
Or Disneyland.
Disneyland Parade, that's right. Disneyland. Yeah. And then they made their way to the good old Festival of the Lion King,
where they have been much longer than anyone expected.
Yeah, you can. That's what I think. Like, they were made to be temporary, and then they became popular, so they had to stick around.
Yeah,
so
that's a good one. Number four.
Number four comes in the impressive category, and this is the Benjamin Franklin animatronic from the American Adventure. And I'm thinking of one scene in particular, with the scene of him and Thomas Jefferson around the desk as they're trying to rough draft the Declaration of Independence. And Ben Franklin starts off on the bottom level, and there's a set of maybe two or three steps, or so it seems, in the set. You know, from where you're sitting, it looks like it's a staircase. And this audio animatronic figure seems to climb the steps and then walks over behind Mark Twain. And it's one of those moments where you can tell people are, you know, to trying to watch the show and listen to what's happening. But at the same time, there is always at least a little commotion as the character starts to climb the steps and walk, because it makes you, if you're not used to Disney style audio animatronics, you're thinking, is that a real person? Is that an actor on the stage? Because it's so fluid and so seamless and surprising.
Far enough away that can't really tell.
Well, it's just surprising because he's standing down on the bottom and he takes a step, another step, another step, and then he begins to walk. It's like, good night. They went all out for that one. So that's a very impressive scene and a very impressive figure.
Yeah, it really is. That's an attraction full of impressive little moments like that.
Yep.
My number four is the Wicked Witch of the West from The Great Movie Ride. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if part of the reason I think she's so great is because all the audio animatronics leading up to her are not so great.
You know? She's pretty impressive.
And she is impressive. And I think especially because, I mean, Tarzan is, I don't even know if he moves, just the vine swings back and forth.
He's shiny. He's so plastic.
He's so plastic. And we've talked many times about how terrible Sigourney Weaver is, and the Footlight Parade doesn't even move. They just shine lights on them.
The Footlight Parade, the last time I went by it, I looked and I was like, this looks like a bunch of blow-up dolls. They just stacked up right
really
there.
It does. It really does. But then when you get to the Yellow Brick Road, that Wicked Witch is for real impressive. All of her movements match up precisely with her dialogue back and forth with the, your tour guide. She bends over and moves her arms and all sorts of different things. And then, of course, the fire comes and she leaves. But I always find her really impressive. And I think if I were a kid, I would find her pretty wicked and scary.
She's scary.
Yeah.
Whatever technology they used or whatever kind of animatronic figure that is, apparently in the late 1980s, when MGM Studios and the Great Movie Ride were being designed and built, whatever that technology was very advanced and very progressive, because it is the same technology and the same animatronic style they used for Hopper at the animal. It's tough to be a bug attraction at Animal Kingdom. So whatever it was stuck around 10 years. Just that very fluid, seamless movement that was very realistic.
Yeah, that makes
sense. And I like, too, piggybacking off of that answer, I like the Dorothy, Lion, Scarecrow, and Tin Man audio animatronics as well, right after that scene. They look really good. Like, they stepped right out of the movie.
They really do. And it's such a short scene, they really didn't even have to animate them if they didn't want to, you know, to show their backs.
Yep.
But they're all animated, so.
Well, I mean, they turn and look at you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They are animated, and they didn't have to do that.
Oh, that's true. Mm. And do you know who did the voice for the Dorothy?
Liza Minnelli.
I'm going to take a stab and say Judy Garland.
No, it was Liza Minnelli, Judy Garland's daughter.
Mama.
I threw that out of nowhere. I was just thinking of people you would think was cool if they narrated something in Disney.
Well, you are right, and I hate you.
I forgot she was Judy Garland's daughter.
Yeah.
Very cool.
My number four is another one that just makes me happy, and I have a funny moment that was attached to it. And this is very random, so stay with me.
Okay.
But my number four is the bird that sits on top of the pirate skeleton in the cave of Pirates of the Caribbean. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Bird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, the seagull. And the reason why is I was riding it one time, and its motions, like, it turns its head, you know, and it really does look like a real bird. It's very fluid. And it turned its head, and the lady in the row in front of me yelled, "There's a real bird in here!" And I freaked out. And then her family, of course, mocked and ridiculed her the rest of the ride for that.
Real crabs.
But every time, and mermaids, every time I go by that bird, that memory pops into my head, and I just want to, "There's a real bird in here." But
and Imagineering crossed their arms and said, "Our work here is done."
Yep.
Yeah.
My number three comes in a set, and that might be against the rules, but I don't care because I can't pick one out of the many. And
that is all of Fantasyland.
Yeah, there you go. No, it is in Fantasyland, though, specifically New Fantasyland, and they are the Seven Dwarves from the Seven Dwarves Mine Train, which I have praised before on this show, and this is probably one of the reasons I love it so much. And it is one of those things, when I first saw it and first heard about it, Disney fans, you know, kind of seemed to shirk at the idea of the projected faces. But I think what they have in mind when they originally heard about it was what goes on Buzz Lightyear's face and Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin, but it's nothing like that. Because when you're riding this attraction, you can't even tell that they're, you know, projected faces. It's just the animation is so crisp and so clean, and the noses, you know, are fixed on there in such a way that it just, you can't even tell. And it looks like you're literally inside the cartoon. And those figures are very large to be dwarves. They're like the size of large American children. So
why American?
Because American children are large.
If I had to pick one, I would say the Doc figurine at the end, because as you come to Doc, the thing starts going and he starts calling out "Hi ho," and of course his mouth is doing the "Hi ho," and his eyes are blinking, and it's just a altogether wonderful scene filled with impressive figures and lovable figures.
It's a wow moment. Yeah.
I think it works because it's very dark in the cavern.
Yeah.
And you're going by quickly.
And you got the black lighting.
Yeah, because if it was the same as Buzz Lightyear, I always love when people post pictures of the Buzz Lightyear automatronic, because it looks like he's been on the mountain with Jesus. You know, he comes back and his face is glowing, and, you know, it's just so unnatural looking. Uh-huh. And so you know, I think they need to continue working on that technology. Well, yes. And making it look
well,
a little more natural.
Yeah, it works there because the rest of their bodies, and I don't know if it's like interior illumination on their in their actual figures, or it's just the lighting, like you said, the black lighting and stuff that illuminates the colors on their clothes and makes it seem brighter. Yeah, but you know that brightness that clearly looks like Buzz Lightyear's face is a TV screen does not happen with those figures. It's very good.
I don't think the bride in Haunted Mansion is a perfect version of it either.
No, it's not. It's yeah. Clearly like too much.
But the Seven Dwarfs are super impressive. I think my favorite is Sneezy holding the buckets and they look like they're about to fall on you and then they waver back. That's a really cool effect to me. Yeah. My number three had to do it. It's Abraham Lincoln in the Hall of Presidents. The dude stands up. He is sitting in a chair and he stands up. Mm-hmm. That still impresses me every time. I assume it's the same movement as the one in Disneyland because it's very similar to me as I watch it from Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln. But I feel like when you're sitting down and you're standing up, like that's a complete different center of balance, you know?
Yeah.
And the fact that he just, easy as pie, just, you know, pushes off the armrests, gets up, talks, moves his hands and arms, and just has a very presidential figure as he speaks to you. It never ceases to impress me.
The rest of the presidents made my honorable mention list, and that is because I just love how, again, they seem so lifelike. They don't just freeze and wait till it's their turn to move, but they're reaching out, they're tapping each other on the shoulder, like the Reagan kind of waves his leg as he's sitting there with it crossed. You know, it has these natural movements that people on a stage would do. And mm-hmm. It really kind of can freak people out because they're like, is that supposed to be? Are you sure that's not a real person?
I think, I don't know if it's in the modern iteration of the show or not. I think it used to be, you know, before they had the Lincoln monologue of the Gettysburg Address in the newer show, you know, used to, they didn't reveal any of the figures till the end. And I think while George Washington or someone was doing a speech, Lincoln was, you know, sitting, preparing for his little, you know, speech, and he would look at his notes in his hand, like he would hold his hand up as if he was reading something.
The Obama figure does that now. Okay. Like when he's but he kind of leans over and points his finger at his notes, and then turns and looks at the audience.
Yeah, that's terrific.
It's just wonderful.
Yeah.
My number three piggybacks off of Matt's Benjamin Franklin, and that is the Mark Twain figure in The American Adventure. One, I like Mark Twain because, like myself, he grew up in Missouri, and I feel a kinship to him.
Kinship, no.
Kinship, that's what I meant.
Kinship.
But my favorite part about this audio animatronic is when he smokes his cigar, and you see the smoke come out of his mouth. That always, again, impresses me, and I'm always like, wow, he's actually blowing smoke out of his cigar. It looks so real and lifelike and cool, and so it just makes me happy.
I feel like none of us have said audio animatronic correctly anytime we've tried to say
it. My audio animatronic? No, this whole show, though, let's just give a shout-out to American Adventure because the whole show is impressive as far as
it is.
Audio animatronic level.
I want so badly to take a tour under that stage, see that turnstile. I would pay for that.
I'm pretty sure I have pictures of it somewhere.
I think it's a turntable, not a turnstile.
That's what I meant. Turntable, yeah.
It's like a giant Ferris wheel.
The Will Rogers, how he spins the lasso. I mean, that's pretty impressive. I can't spin a lasso, and I'm a real person. So,
Oh, Frederick Douglass is another one. Frederick Douglass coming out on his raft.
Mm. That's you're right. Yeah.
Great looks scene. Like he's floating along there.
Yep.
So, lots of good. What was that?
That's just how we end things here.
So number two.
Okay, right.
Oh, is that really how we're going to end that? Okay.
Number two, this is going to come across as bizarre, but it is just, you'll know what I mean when I say it. It's the elephant from the Jungle Cruise.
I know what you mean.
specifically the Indian elephant in the Indian elephant bathing pool. As you come out of the temple and into the kind of finale where all the Indian elephants are in there, you know, swimming and blowing water out of their trunks and stuff, there's the one sitting on the rock right in front of you under the waterfall, you know, and he's got like a big smile on his face almost, and he's got the trunk going up and just spraying water on himself, clearly just having a good time. That is just a little picture-perfect Disney moment. That I have the concept art, some of the original, not the original concept art, but prints of the original concept art in my office, just because that one little figure, you know, and just makes me so happy.
And it's okay to take pictures when you're there because they're all wearing their trunks.
Oh my God.
A skipper would kill to have that reaction on their boat.
Oh, that treble is so high, it hurts my ears.
No, I almost put them on my list. I did not, but that's almost just an iconic Disney World scene.
It is.
You know, of just those elephants spraying the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The print that I have has two little scenes on it. One is the elephant under the waterfall that I was mentioning, and the other is the two elephants that are kind of perpendicular to one another, and the one spraying water on the other. That those two scenes, and that really, that whole scene is, like, you're right, a iconic, picture-perfect Jungle Cruise moment.
I love that print you have. It's one of my favorite things that you own. Every time I go, I appreciate it.
That's good.
My number two is actually one that Matt mentioned earlier, and that is Hopper from It's Tough to Be a Bug. I mean, you said fluid, and that perfectly describes him. He's got six legs, and all of them are doing their own individual movements, and the way he like turns to the screen and then turns back to the audience. Mm-hmm. And another reason I find it, I know he's impressive, is because he scared the crap out of my 4 or 5 year old nephew, however old he was. I guess he was 3 at the time.
That's terrific.
Oh my word. Now granted, we were maybe 5 feet from him when he popped out, but you just heard the most terrifying scream come out of this little boy's mouth. And then I got, it just makes you scared because you're like, wow, that really is kind of terrifying. But he's just all around impressive. Hopper is. Every movement he makes is like, wow, that looks like he's really standing there.
And even the way he appears, I mean, he appears much in the same way the Wicked Witch does, you know, from a kind of a tube, and they blow smoke up, and then he kind of appears out of nowhere. But they have that, the way he kind of lands, it's like they take him up and then back down as if he did hop, you know, out of somewhere.
Like, no, a, it's bat a good out thing. Of hell.
Love it.
My number two is Ursula from Little Mermaid attraction. One, I love Ursula. I've expressed my love for her numerous times on this podcast before, but she really does look great in that attraction. Mm. I love how they made her exceptionally large, like she's so, like, engulfs the room, and she really does. you feel very small compared to her, and she just has that Ursula-ness about her, the way she laughs and kind of giggles and bumps and anywho
and grinds
and
that's jerks. Another animatronic that terrified my nephew.
No, she's
good.
That's a pretty perfect animatronic. Even the material they use to make her skin is that rubbery kind of. You see the wrinkles, where there should be, you know, wrinkles and a large woman.
Yeah, she got wrinkles. It happens to her the best.
And
she's fast too. Like when she waves her arms and turns her head, like everything's really quick.
And is her mouth? Does it do? It forms to the words, correct?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think.
Well, right. At least it says O's and things. It's not just a static like ba 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 ba.
Like puppets.
And she does the thing. I remember talking about this when they opened that attraction at the California version. We were getting ready for it here. Was the old animation thing? Good grief! What do they call it? It's the stretch and squash.
Yes. Yes.
Thing about animating, you know, cartoon characters that they, you know, they almost have a rubbery quality to them, and they stretch and they squash and they, you know, expand horizontally and vertically, and that's how she does when she's singing the song. She's kind of bouncing, mm-hmm. and her whatever belly I don't know what that is on an octopus slash woman.
Torso?
The torso, the lower part of her torso, yeah, it's kind of bumbling in and out as she bounces.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, I'm watching video right now, and she's great.
She's really cool. Probably my favorite part of that attraction, to be honest.
Mm. Isn't that like, yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, drum roll, please. Number one. It's better than I can do.
This has always been a favorite of mine. And in fact, when I was around 7 or 8, my little Christian school had a pumpkin painting contest because, of course, pumpkin carving sent you to hell. So we painted... We painted the pumpkins so they did not resemble, and I quote, souls burning in hell. Because everybody knows that's what jack-o'-lanterns represent.
I've always said it.
And inviting to your house, you know. Anyway, we had a pumpkin painting. So I literally modeled my pumpkin after this audio animatronic character at Walt Disney World. And he comes to us from the Haunted Mansion attraction, and it is the organist in the ballroom scene. Whatever drew me to him, maybe because he's playing a keyboard instrument, which I kind of do, I just like him. He's got the top hat on, just a very detailed character. You know, he's got the coat on and the little, what do you call the little top part at the top of the coat that's kind of separate from the rest of the coat?
I don't know.
He's just a very detailed character, sitting there playing the organ, kind of looking around. You know, the little faces are coming out of the pipes. That's just obviously a quintessential Disney theme park scene. He made it into lots of vacation videos of the Haunted Mansion. So he's my number one. If he ever left, I'd be very upset.
I thought you were going to say the auctioneer or someone from Pirates.
I love Pirates, obviously, but yeah. When I was thinking about favorite animatronic figures, it comes. I like Pirates for different reasons, setting and music and lighting and things like that, but the actual figurines that I'm attached to, he's number one.
Nice. All right, my number one confession is from something I've never actually experienced in person, but the videos floor me, and you guys can tell me if I'm on the right track, and that's Lumiere from Enchanted Tales with Belle. Whenever I see videos of this, I mean, the first one I saw was like an official Disney Parks blog video, you know, behind the scenes with the Imagineers. And so I'm like, you know, they can do good angles or whatever. But then I just watched someone's video who like recorded the whole experience. And I was floored by how incredible he looks. It's the projected face on him. But the way he bends and his, kind of like Ursula, just swings so fast his two candles and it becomes, you know, still all of a sudden and he says something like, be still, don't move, or everything he did, I could not believe how awesome he looked.
No, he does. He looks great. I wish he was a little bigger. They could have,
like Beauty and the Beast live on stage bigger?
No. But
with little feet moving under.
They could have played with his proportions a little bit because he is very small. And you are kind of seated not too far away, but far enough away that you can't really, I don't think, appreciate it for all that it is. But no, he is a great little audio. I'm trying to figure. Often overlooked. I didn't even think about that one.
Yeah. If you ever get a chance, go to when they first released the Parks blog, like inside look at Enchanted Tales with Belle just before it opened. And they kind of talk about him a little bit and they show him really up close. And it's just like, you would think the closer you get, the easier it is to see the mechanics behind how he works. But it was just the opposite. The closer it got, the more impressed I was. So
no, it's good stuff. That and that mirror, the only two redeeming qualities of that show.
Aww.
Oh, maybe the dresser too. Her face is pretty animated.
It really is. Her lips move with her words like Ursula's do. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I can never get over with that chest, how every time, I mean, like, you open the chest and that's like her bosom. Like, you're like, she's like flashing you when you open it.
That's the joke.
Yeah.
It's a little borderline inappropriate.
She's a busty woman.
She certainly is.
Dresser.
Chest. She's a chesty chest.
Chesty chest. Dresser.
My
so
so number one. Yeah,
I think you should leave it at chesty chest. I like that. My number one is a favorite of mine as well, and it comes to us.
No, you don't say.
Splash Mountain, and that is the tambourine playing chickens in the final scene. Again,
I am so not surprised by this answer.
Yeah, me neither. That's good though.
That and is good.
Not the most advanced audio animatronics on property. No projected faces, no fluid motions, just kind of rocking back and forth.
Just kind of having church.
But they just make me happy. And yeah. I didn't know that we were going for technical aspects. So my list is just things that make me happy. Well, and the way that they just play those tambourines and shout and holler zippity-doo-dah all day long, it makes me want to shout.
By insinuating judgment on your answers, you are judging our answers.
I just feel like I kind of missed the concept a little bit. But no.
Well, that's what I said at the beginning. I couldn't decide which direction to go with mine because, I mean, the leopard from It's a Small World, it was so hard for me to leave that off my list.
That's great.
But the direction my list went, I was like, well, I'll just leave it off.
Speaking of organ playing animatronics, that pig on the boat is kind of fun, too. The pig playing the organ on the showboat.
Yeah.
Calliope organ. There's an inordinate amount of animatronics playing keyboard instruments, it seems. Like Sunny Eclipse, and there's three in one park playing instruments.
It's probably easy for, especially keyboard, because you can kind of hide the finger movements.
Yeah, they just
depending on how you.
And that ragtime player on Main Street, you know he is not real. He's too good.
Yeah, I love when you're like walking and people are like, "Is the duck real? In the grass? Is that a real duck?" Like, Disney would put an audio animatronic duck in the middle of the...
All race. The birds in Frontierland are very real.
Ugh, unfortunately.
Yeah, they will poop on you.
If we were doing all parks in the U.S., probably the Hatbox Ghost would be really close to making my list.
So funny you say it, because I have an honorable mention.
Let's hear it.
These are things that... either not in Walt Disney World or just didn't make my list. The cars from Radiator Springs Racers.
I wrote that down too. Those things. How many times have we ridden that in only 2 years? So many times. And every time I'm like, how do they do that?
Yeah. And I keep like looking for like the hinges and things. I never see anything like, oh, that's how that mouth moved. Anyways.
That's crazy.
The Hatbox Ghost definitely made the list. The Gene Kelly audio-animatronic from Great Movie Ride, just because it makes me happy. And also the goblins from Gringotts in Islands of Adventure made my list as a non-Disney submission.
Actually, they're not from Islands of Adventure. They're from Universal Studios.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Hey, which are the goblins?
Yeah.
They're creepy.
Those goblins. Okay, whatever.
I just like how they're not like, again, not technically advanced.
Okay, all right, as long as we're not saying that, because they're like something you would see at Party City at like Halloween time.
They do make eye contact with you.
They do, and they move so fluidly too, like really like how somebody would be sitting there riding.
I think they just move slowly.
Yeah. I like them, okay?
I think they're impressive, I really do. The whole eye contact thing always freaks me out. Anyway, Matt, we listed our honorable mentions. I feel like I should give you a chance too as well.
I might throw in a few. If we're going to go for Pirates of the Caribbean, we can't bypass the man with the hairy leg.
Yeah, yeah.
On the bridge. I mean, that's just iconic also. For some reason, I don't know why this is. You know how some of these things are, you just don't know why you latch onto them. But if we're going to go to Splash Mountain... Four figures, which are really just two, because three of them are the same. The banjo playing gators at the end, I like those. And the turkey that's just around the corner playing the guitar, I've always liked him too. Hmm. Just, you know, unique things. Speaking of which, I watched the Tokyo version of Splash Mountain the other day. And they have some other figurines throughout the attraction.
Interesting.
Yeah, like a dog, and then the turkey's playing at a different place in the thing. Yeah, I was very intrigued by the Tokyo version, but you can't go wrong with any of the Splash Mountain figures.
That's true, yeah. I cannot believe in our three lists we didn't have any repeating ones. That just shows you how incredible and widespread. I wonder how many there are. I mean, there are probably 100 in It's a Small World alone.
Depending on how this thing turns out in Shanghai, that figurine of the monster in Roaring Rapids looks like it might be pretty formidable.
Amazing. Yeah.
And God bless the Yeti. If he ever comes back, he's always good too.
I know. I really wanted to put him on my list, but I just can't in the state he's in right now. Can't do it.
Yeah.
But anyway, if we have done nothing else on this show, I hope we have encouraged you to take note of the audio animatronics that are at Walt Disney World and not to just equate them with your local Chuck E. Cheese. And so I think I'll just leave it at that, and I'm going to sign off here and say you can always follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook. You can send your emails to comments@madchatters.net, and you can find us right here, same time, same place, next week. See you then.
Take a little time to find the magic in every day.
Bye-bye now.